Listener production.
Kickbump acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the Kickbump podcast, your fortnightly D&M on all things motherhood. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, we have an episode. Do we have an episode?
Do we have an episode?
I mean, I'm so excited. So I'll just quickly mention, our guest is Hannah. She's one of the co-founders of Francesca. And she's actually, if you've listened to the Kickpod for a while and you might have listened to the episode Laura had with her sister Rachel about their interesting trip overseas.
Human trafficking. Near miss.
Yes.
That was probably the most wild episode.
Absolutely. It was so gripping. Mm. And then I had to remind myself, like, this isn't just like a Law and Order story. Like,
yeah.
This is someone's like real life. Anyway, Hannah. This is Hannah.
Yes.
But she's also a mum of two. So I'm so excited to get into her because I learned so much from that chat.
Same.
But first, I have quite the Harvey update.
I'm looking forward to this because before we started recording, you said, there's a video. Did you see what Josh uploaded on Instagram? I'm like, no, I didn't. I haven't scrolled for the last couple of days. So
good
I didn't.
On you.
I just haven't been.
That's great.
But you know what's really self-indulgent of me? I'll post on Instagram.
But then you just
I don't look at anyone else's
stuff. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, whatever. You got to do what you got to do.
Who do I think I am?
But it's good. It's good. Time off the phone is good. So my Harvey update. I mean, he's two now and he's developing at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
And he's got a haircut and he looks like a five-year-old boy. Yeah. I wasn't very into it. As in, like, at the start, I was like, I don't really want this to happen.
Because he had to cut his curls off.
Yeah.
I think that's the most painful is when they're, like, they've got the little ringlet curls and you have to snip off the actual.
And they're so soft because it's like his first hairs.
Yeah.
So they're like baby silky soft hairs. Anyway, now his hair, I mean, it's been cut, so it's still a bit like, you know, it's a bit like rough.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels different. I'm like, oh, it's a little boy now. Anyway, that's not the update, even though that was huge. So Josh posted this video. Some of you may have already seen it because it's hit 6 million views. Insane. Like ridiculous. It went fully viral.
On TikTok?
On TikTok.
Holy crap.
I
really mustn't have been scrolling at all because I'm sure that would have come up in my feed.
So
here
you go.
And this is
my kid is a genius.
At the time of recording, it's hit 6 million.
Yes, this is exactly, imagine.
Really?
And it could be.
This is like maybe a week or so before this episode comes out. So it could be.
You never know.
The biggest ever.
Also, a bit of background for this. Josh had never done this before. So there's a lot of people that were like, oh my God, he must, you know, practice this all the time. He'd never done this before, yeah? And Josh was like pissing himself because he was so blown away. So this is him.
What's this?
Mango.
Huh? Good boy. Rub it out. What's this?
Chicken.
Yeah, rub it out. Good boy. And what's this?
House.
Good boy.
Robot.
Yeah, rub it out.
Robot.
My house. And what is this?
Tree.
Good boy.
What? An awful tree. That's what everyone said. What the hell?
And what's this? What's that?
Shishi.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Shishi. Okay, good boy. Rub it out.
Bye,
and what's this?
What is he saying?
Shishi.
Oh, bye, fish.
Can't say F.
Like, bye.
Yeah.
A what?
Shishi.
A snakey?
Yeah.
Good boy.
Oh my God.
He's like the best Pictionary partner you could ever ask for.
What? And he's never, this isn't a regular occurrence in your household?
No. We've only just got that blackboard.
Oh my God.
So quick.
And I mean, Josh's drawing skills are subpar, so.
Okay, what's this one?
Get out, he knows his name.
Tree.
What's that say?
Harvey.
Good boy.
Oh my God. I'm blown away.
Yeah. So.
So,
anyway,
I'm a genius.
So, you know, we did get a few DMs to say you should look up giftedness, which I didn't even know was a thing.
What's giftedness?
I think it's way too early to tell. I'm not saying this, by the way. I'm not saying this.
You are. He's got it.
Every,
what is it?
Every parent thinks that their kid is gifted and that they're like some genius.
Yeah.
And I'm not like that. I mean, I think he's pretty, that's pretty amazing. He's pretty smart, but I have no idea what to base it off. But a lot of people were messaging him, and even like speech pathologists and stuff were saying, like, this is incredible for his age.
What's giftedness? It just means they're gifted.
Yeah. And so I think when they're a little bit older, you can get them tested.
Wow.
Honestly, if Josh and I produce a gifted child, anything can happen in the world. That's amazing.
Anything's possible.
So, yeah.
That is so, he's the cutest kid ever. I can't even get over him.
Like, I mean, I'll agree with you.
Oh, my God. I love him. Oh.
So, that's my Harvey update.
What?
Kids are genius. All right. We have a toddler tantrum tale from Rachel.
Yeah.
And it's not Hannah's sister, Rachel.
No, no, different Rachel. And I feel like Rachel's going to be like, oh, well, now my toddler, in comparison to yours, thanks very much.
No, Rachel, my toddler still has incredible tantrums that make no sense, so don't worry.
But no, Rachel sent this in because, yes, if your toddler has a tantrum over something hilarious, please do send it to us at KickPod on Instagram. This is what Rachel said.
Toddler tantrum tales. So my 20-month-old daughter had a tantrum the other day and cried, and I mean legit screamed for 10 minutes because I attempted to put on underwear. I was just trying to get dressed for the day, and she was there because she's a climber, so she literally has to go everywhere with me. And I go to put my underwear on, and she just spat the dummy and lost it. She was pulling at my undies, screaming. It's almost like she thought they were attacking me. It was so strange. So I just had to walk around the house with no underwear on for a while for her to get over that fear. Thankfully, the second time around, she didn't care, but I seriously considered not wearing underwear for the day.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
Had to go commando because he just wouldn't have it.
Mummy, go commando. That is so funny. They're so strange. They are very strange little beings. Like, honestly, it even Harvey does this all the time, even with himself. I think he's definitely like me. I think he likes to be naked. Like, wow, that sounded funny.
He likes to be naked.
I mean, I do like to be naked. But when I was a kid particularly, I remember looking back at all like my family albums and stuff like that. And I looked like a nudist child. Like, I was always naked. Even up to like I was like 5 or whatever, I'd be naked in someone's backyard playing in the sprinkler. Like, I think it was just like a norm for me to be nude. So
you'd be doing it now if it was socially acceptable.
Probably. But oh my God, that is so fun. I love that she just like committed and was like, I'm not dealing with this tantrum right now, so I'm going to just walk around my house with no underwear on.
If you can't be bothered, like I don't think I'd cope with the screaming, and I'd just be like, sure, I'll wear this bucket of spaghetti on my head or whatever you want me to do. Like I'd
strange little beings. Anyway, thank you so much for sending that in, Rach. Yes, as Mandy said, please keep them coming at KickPod on Insta. So today we have, as mentioned earlier in the episode, the incredible Hannah Vasicek, who is one of the co-founders and she's the CEO of Francesca Collections, which is a jewelry brand, and they're based out of Hobart and Melbourne. Her sister, Rachel, as I mentioned, she's been on the KickPod before. Highly recommend going back and listening to that episode if you haven't.
Yeah,
incredibly gripping.
I'll put that in the show notes if you want to hear that episode.
She is a mum to baby Elijah, who's 1, and Vienna, who is 3. When she was pregnant with Vienna, she was diagnosed with amniotic band syndrome, which is where the lining of the uterus gets tangled around the baby or around the umbilical cord. I found it really fascinating to learn about this in the podcast because I will be the first to admit I didn't even know this was a thing.
Neither.
And I believe Hannah mentions that she didn't either. So I think it's just one of those things like with pregnancy and beyond, like postpartum as well, I feel like there's so much that goes unsaid. And I suppose maybe to a point it's like about not wanting to instill fear where it's not necessary. However, I still think like this sort of thing, it's good to know about so that when it does come up, if it comes up, you're kind of aware of what could go wrong.
And I actually think this is a story of hope because I can imagine getting told that your baby has amniotic band syndrome. The doctor explains what it is, the risks involved and like how bad it could be, which I think, as Hannah mentions in this episode, can cause stillbirth and things like that. So really devastating. Finding that out when you're pregnant would be the most devastating thing ever. Hannah has had her now 3-year-old, who's a beautiful little girl.
Yeah.
She was born without her right arm, and Hannah was asked 3 times during her pregnancy if she wanted to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's just such a wild story and one of, it shows hope because she followed through, obviously, with the pregnancy and everything was wonderful.
Yeah. So, and I think it was just a beautiful story as well of like, especially with how her partner kind of supported her through this as well. Mm. And Hannah's really honest about the journey. So we hope you guys enjoy learning more about this and hearing Hannah's story. And I'm just looking forward to sharing it with you all.
1, 2, 3. Hannah,
welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you.
Me too.
So outside of what you do at Francesca, with your sister Rachel, who's also been on the KickPod before, sharing a very interesting story of yours, which for anyone who's interested in listening, or if you might have already listened to it, Hannah is Rachel's sister who was a part of the story on human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put that episode in the show notes if anyone wants to go back to that. But that's you. That was you. So
yeah, and insane. It's crazy because at Francesca, we had been partnering with BeHers, the local charity, for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things feel so far away. And then when it happened to us, it was crazy. But it really brought a lot of momentum to the charity work that we do as well.
So, of course.
Yeah.
So much purpose. Now, today though, we're going to talk about your motherhood journey with your two little ones. And I would love for you to start with Vienna, who's 3 now.
Yes.
So if you could take us back to, I suppose, when you were trying, when you found out you were pregnant and kind of go from there, that'd be awesome.
Such a journey. I've always thought, I guess, I'm not sure about you, before becoming a mother, I was really, really obsessed with business, worked really, really hard. The business took, 10 years to grow. And I always said the only thing that'll slow me down is a baby. And so when I found out I was pregnant, I was excited, literally just so excited. But I freaked out. I was like, how is this going to be possible? Because I don't have time as it is. Everyone reports to me, how is this going to work? So that was kind of the first big shock. And then I had a bit of a turbulent pregnancy, so was really excited. And then at 12 weeks, I literally went from work one day to my 12-week scan, met my husband there, walked in as you do, and you're so excited.
Yeah.
And yeah, sitting there, and it was just a junior sonographer that was scanning me actually. And she was talking through, and I'm very talkative. I was just asking her questions. And then she went really silent and sort of kept on scanning the same area. And like for some reason, like my heart just dropped. Like I knew something was up. Still makes me emotional, sort of like going back to that time. And she left the room really abruptly.
Didn't
she
say
anything. She was like, "Oh, I'm just going to go talk to the doctor."
Okay.
And I just was, laying there.
Oh.
Turned to my husband BJ, and I was like, "Oh, something's wrong." And so an older woman came in then, and she was like, she was beautiful. She was like, "Oh, we're just a little bit worried about the little one's arm." And I was like, okay, this is weird. And she, luckily, she's this really senior sonographer. I'm so lucky that she was even working that day, because she said that most people wouldn't pick up on these things.
Okay.
And she was scanning me again, and she's like, "Look, your little one," and she would have been, I don't know,
they're
7, 8 centimetres at this time. She said she's got her arm, but it's kind of caught. So there was like a chicken wing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I can see an amniotic band."
Mm.
And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah. And I was just like numb at this stage. And she's like, "I can see an amniotic band that's wrapped around the baby, and it's around the arm and it's around the umbilical cord." And I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
And at that stage, she was like, it'll be okay. And, she finished the scan and she was really lovely. And I went and sat in the car and Googled.
Yeah.
And, obviously saw, the extreme situations. Amniotic band syndrome, I then found out, was where a fibre from the uterus enters the amniotic sac, which is sort of filled with liquid, and can kind of flap around and wrap around babies and do damage.
Mm.
It's a really big reason why there's a lot of stillbirths, cleft palate, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat in the car and just my world just crumbled.
Yeah.
And interestingly, a lot of it was about, what is everyone going to think?
Mm.
Like, I just bawled. I left my car in at the car park at work that day. My husband drove me home. I messaged my obstetrician because I still didn't know
what it was, what it meant for you.
You know, like it was just like this, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And so my obstetrician said, come in, and she was absolutely amazing. And she just talked me through it. So she was basically like, you know, when the amniotic band wraps around a part of their body, usually the part of the body is affected. It might be amputated. You know, she stepped me through really calmly.
All the possibilities.
All of the possibilities. And then, yeah, I just went home and was in bed crying for like 2 days. Mm. And I'm a really, really positive person. Like, if there's a business problem, I will just like knuckle down until I can fix it. I couldn't fix this. Mm. So, yeah, like that was the start of my pregnancy journey and my motherhood journey. Mm. And, you know, to some degree, the start of the never-ending worry that I now know is also very normal. But yeah, so 2 days in, my husband came downstairs and he's like, you have to get up and you, like this, we've been chosen for a reason. Because I kept on saying, you know, why? I Googled everything. I didn't eat anything bad. Like, you know, I did everything by the book. Why me? And he came downstairs and he's like, why not you? Why not us? We are, like, we're capable of this, of like bringing a child with a disability into the world. And that was it.
Oh, so, that was so beautiful.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where, you know, there were so many decisions because we still didn't know, even up until she was born, what her arm would look like. Mm. So essentially, by 16 weeks, her arm was amputated. Mm-hmm. So essentially the bands, as they grow, the bands cut off any supply of blood and things like that. And she then lost her limb. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about that. Mm. We flew over to Melbourne. I'm from Hobart. Mm. And we went to the fetal management unit, which is at the Royal Children's Hospital, which even the name just sounds really crazy. And met with a male doctor there who... it was a really horrible experience because he, you know, obviously is used to talking through options to parents with babies with issues. And yeah, it wasn't good.
So what did he say to you?
He kind of sat down and he was very sort of like no bedside manner.
Nonchalant, yeah.
Yep. And he said, yep, baby's going to be born with no arm. Would you like to continue the pregnancy?
So he suggested terminating.
Yep, multiple times. Yeah, even though my obstetrician had already, you know, in a really beautiful way sort of
had gone over that as an
option. And written really clearly on the, oh, no, like it was, I was hoping to get more answers from a professional. You know, I was asking how it could have happened and he was like, oh, you know, like happens in 1 in 25,000 live births. It's just something that happens. It's a rare occurrence. But, you know, like... you won't have it on your next baby. So, you know, you could terminate the pregnancy. And it was actually really, like, at this stage it was so laughable.
So confronting though as well.
It was so laughable that I became really defensive. And I was like, hang on, so she's only going to have one arm.
I was going to ask, did you have that confirmation that, like, was the worst of what had happened that she was going to be possibly without an arm?
Correct.
Like there wasn't any other dangers involved.
Yeah. So I was asking, is it a congenital thing? Like, is it, you know, sometimes things can affect the heart, you know, like it's an all body. He's like, nope, just the arm. And I was like, okay, well, what's the issue then? Yeah. And then he made a joke that, like, she would be a Paralympian one day, like, because my husband plays basketball.
Right.
He's like, oh, she'll be able to play basketball, you know, for the Paralympics. But if I've reflected on that and if I wasn't as confident and sort of, I guess, outspoken in myself, I would have had so much doubt as to, you know, the situation.
Totally, because I think you would have, like, whilst it's important, obviously everyone knows their options throughout these things, I think you would have thought, for someone who wasn't quite sure, if a professional is speaking so calmly about that as an option, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think it was almost like a preferred suggestion in a way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because since she was born.
Yeah.
And since a lot of my followers have seen her absolutely flourish, they've even said to me, like, I can't even believe that it's fathomable, you know, that it's a reason. So it's, yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, so 20 weeks, I made the decision not to tell anyone except for my family and a few close friends. And so the hardest thing for me, so once I came to terms with the fact that, you know, my daughter would be born disabled, it was the everyday like, oh, how are you? Like, you look amazing. Yeah. How's the baby? And I would just have to say, you know, like, great, you know, baby's great. Knowing in the back of my mind that, you know, at some stage everyone's going to find out. It wasn't until she was born that we finally saw, we didn't know where the amputation was. Yeah. We didn't know if there was going to be sort of like surgery that was needed and things like that. And she came out screaming with the tiniest little arm. So that's what we call it now. She's got this little arm that she's very proud of. And yeah, that was our, that was the journey. At that stage, I just wanted the band to not affect the umbilical cord.
Yeah, yeah,
and so every day of that pregnancy, I lived not knowing if
that was your biggest
it was going to be severed.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as she was healthy and she made it, that's all that mattered to me. So, yeah.
Amazing. And so when she was born, was there any surgeries involved or anything?
No, nope. She just came out and it was like, it's so crazy. Like the arm had completely healed.
Yeah.
It's just like beautiful skin.
Yeah.
She's got what she calls her little dot, which I think is where it was amputated and it's tiny. It's probably the size of what her arm was when it was amputated.
Oh
it's
gosh.
Like this tiny little dot.
Interesting,
yeah. And yeah, she just, she was perfect as a baby, like absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
We announced that she was born. I decided not to announce to the world when she was born her, you know, uniqueness.
Yeah.
It was like 2 days later that I was like ready. I wanted her to have that moment of like, you know, she's here and she's perfect. And then 2 days later, I did a post with her little arm and just explained the situation. And that's when I had a massive, you know, breakdown, but like relief that like the world knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So wild. Oh. Wild pregnancy.
Yeah. I mean, but so amazing. And I want to know as well, because I mean, I already know with Harvey being two, like how much development happens between one and three is insane.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine now between two and three, there's going to be so much more. So how have you gone with Vienna in, I suppose, like educating her on her difference and like embracing that?
Yeah. I'm, before becoming a mother, I was really obsessed with like subconscious beliefs. I had studied neurolinguistic programming. So just before I became pregnant, I became a practitioner.
Wow.
So I was very, very aware of the subliminal beliefs that we can, you know, unconsciously, you know, I guess, project onto our children.
Yeah.
That was huge, becoming a mother and realizing my patterns that I was unknowingly and then caught myself.
Do you think you've become a better person?
Oh, since doing
like
NLP?
Since having her.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because she, it was like having a mirror and realizing things in my background that had unconsciously come through, you know, our whole lineage.
Yeah.
A massive one for me, and it's on the development thing, was because we were so excited that anything that she would do, we would be like so excited for, because we wanted to encourage her. It was around, I reckon it was around 8 or 9 months old that she was doing something and we were like clapping and being like, yeah, like cheerleading. And then one day I remember she did something and she turned around to look at my reaction.
Like wanting the praise.
But I had a full, I had to like stop, go downstairs and call my business coach, like my life coach who does NLP. And I said, I've just realized that at 8 months old, I have already wired her to be motivated by achievement and external, like.
I know, it's so, it's crazy.
And I just had this like full breakdown, because that's actually a lot of the personal development work I'd been doing before getting pregnant. I was in hospital for 5 days, incapacitated, from burnout. And it was from just an internal driver, but that had obviously come from, you know, growing
external
up.
External validation and everything.
My personal happiness was dependent on how much I had achieved that day.
Yeah.
And it, like, broke me.
Yeah.
And then I saw that I was, like, you know, carrying on that. So it was little moments like that that I was like, I have to find out a way that she can be her own cheerleader and that she can make mistakes and things like that. So, yeah, motherhood is like...
It's insane.
Crazy. So, yeah, they told me that she wouldn't walk because she would be off balance until she was two.
Okay.
She walked at 12 months.
Yeah, right.
When she started walking, she was like, I am amazing at walking. And she fell over and couldn't break her fall
right
on her little arm side. So we had like egg on her right side of her head. So things like that were kind of, like developmentally challenging.
Yeah.
But honestly, like I feel like she, now that I have a second child, she was just a whiz.
Yeah.
Independent from day one.
Yeah.
So the thing that I've really focused on in the last 3 years is the subconscious beliefs. I've really tried to, I guess, help her practice, especially now, how to realize her difference and then put her gratitude and her positive spin on it. That's been really, I guess, huge for me, because those first 3 years of her life are going to be like her subconscious, you know, foundation, and she is going to get teased. She's going to feel really low and flat when she's older about her little arm. But if she can pull on all of those positive things, it's never been a deficit in our house.
Yeah.
Always, like I was saying at breakfast today with Rachel, I said something stupid the other day and I said, oh, I'm so special. She pipes up and goes, Mum, you're not special. You don't have a little arm.
Aww.
And, you know, things like that is just, it's amazing. But it's still been a journey.
Yeah, like, of course.
Yeah. At three, she's now realised that she's different.
Yep.
And we've had about 6 months of her, you know, sometimes whispering to me that she wants another big arm. And, you know, that breaks you.
What do you say when she says
that? She said it recently, and it was almost like she knew that she, she was a bit cautious about saying it to me, so she whispered it to me. And I said, oh, why? You know, like, you can do everything, can't you? And she's like, yeah, I can. But, you know, the little boy at school said that I can't read books because I've got one arm, but I can. And we kind of, a massive one for me that I learned when reading the Holistic Psychologist book, How to Do the Work, really amazing book, was not to deny their reality. So if I say, you know, oh, no, they don't mean it, or don't be silly, that's not the case, you deny their reality, and they actually, you know, when they become older, they know that it's a reality and then don't have the tools to pull themselves out.
Yeah.
So I tell her the reality. Yes, you've got one arm, but you can do everything with it. So, it's been a
of course. Of course. And I mean, speaking of books, I actually have a question for you. There's this book that I was gifted, like, I reckon three people bought Harvey the same book. And as soon as I was reading
it. Oh, I already know what it is. Is it 10 Little Fingers
and 10 Little Toes? I wanted to ask what you thought about it because, look, there is so many books, Disney movies. Like, I'm the biggest Disney fan, but I know there's, like, problematic things in all of those movies, right? Yep. So, like, totally acknowledge that.
You got three of them, see? Like,
and so I just wanted to know how you feel with books like this and what it is that, because as soon as I started reading it, I honestly was waiting for one of the pages to be like, and this little baby didn't, or something, you know, like acknowledging it in some way. And then when it didn't, I was kind of like,
I know,
interesting. So I wondered how you feel about books like that. And then obviously, like, for parents, especially I think parents without kids, without a disability, you know, and that are quite able, like, what can you do to make sure that that's not, like, all... Is it just not making sure that that's not the only book that they're kind of consuming?
The thing is, you know, like, this is why social media is amazing.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that you even, you as a mother, reflected and sort of, you know, thought, oh, okay, like, it could be a conversation that you have after reading that book. You know, like, you can add on, you know, sometimes kids don't have 10 little fingers and 10 little toes. Mm, mm. And I actually saw it one day for the first time in like Big W, I think, and I was like, I don't think it's anything wrong with it. I think that it's actually like, it's one of those things you don't want to be too extreme. And it's reality. You don't want to change the world just to, you know, to include every book and everything like that. I think it comes down to a conversation.
Yeah.
It was a funny one because my sister-in-law just had a baby and I'm in a big group chat of all of her friends and we all bought a book to put together.
Yeah.
And one of the mums said, oh, I've got, you know, our favourite book for her, 10 Little Toes. And I was like, oh, do I say something? And I did.
Yeah.
I was in a really light way. I was like, oh, you know, like I always like laugh at that book now, you know, being a mum of Vienna. And she was...
She had this realisation?
Well, no, she was horrified.
Yeah.
And like inboxed me privately. It was like, oh, like I'm so sorry I didn't realise. And I think that's the thing, you know... She didn't do anything wrong. I was just having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it's just about the education.
Yeah.
So I think the more and more that we can sort of talk about it, and for me, I love the inclusive books like Lego, for example, have just started releasing sets of Lego and there's like a girl with a half an arm.
Yeah.
It's just exposure.
Yeah.
And I think that's why even with Vienna, I love, you know, exposing people to how she's literally, I don't see her being disabled with a little arm. Mm. And my biggest pieces of advice is as parents, allow your children to ask questions. Mm. So if Harvey came and, you know, saw that Vienna has a little arm, she is looking, and this is that subconscious thing, so they look at absolutely every idiosyncrasy of your reaction, my reaction.
Mm.
And so our job as parents is to be like, this is Vienna. She's special. She's got a little arm.
Yeah.
The times that I've actually like stepped in is when a parent has shushed their child.
Right.
So like we'll be in a playground and, you know, a kid will be like, oh, her arm. And the mum will literally like whisk them away.
Yeah.
And I have sometimes been like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, come have a look. Like, you know, like Vienna can tell you why she has a little arm.
Yeah.
And I think that's the change that needs to happen in society.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, don't like make eye contact with an adult in a wheelchair and smile at them.
Yeah.
It's only because
of our... If you treat them any differently, that's 100%.
It's only because of our, you know, our reactions and our awkwardness to not understanding disability that actually that's trickling down to our children. Mm. So the minute that they say, you know, I've had some parents come and say, you know, like, do you mind me asking what happened? And I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the ability to, like, you know, make it not an unsaid thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my biggest piece of advice to families and to carers and to things like that, to not shut down the conversation because then that child is thinking, oh, there's something wrong there.
Yeah, and they're treated differently. And
and then that's forming their beliefs for disability.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And how has she gone being a big sister to Elijah?
Oh, she just is so cute. The second baby, I was like, how will I love a second baby?
I think that all the time. It's
like, I was like, and, you know, Vienna is just so special to me. Like, she makes my cheeks hurt every day.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't comprehend loving another child.
Mm.
And yeah, she from day dot, like it was her baby. She would like cuddle it, kiss it. And then the day we brought him home, I was bawling my eyes out because she was, there's this like, I put it on my Instagram. She like gets so excited that she has to turn away and like jumps up and down because she's so excited. And that's been our journey.
Mm.
She does get jealous.
Of course.
But a mum said to me one day, which was like the best piece of advice, said never, you know, like you're going to have to feed the baby a lot and things like that. Never say, I'll be with you once I've fed Elijah.
Mm.
It was like, I'll be with you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also, you know, this really pivotal time in their life, don't want them to subconsciously think I'm second to the...
Yeah, baby's more important.
Yeah. But she's so cute.
Oh,
she's so cute.
That is amazing. And I would love to finish off by asking, for listeners who may be in their pregnancy or maybe they're trying, I think it's quite natural for us to have those. I mean, I had like different fears and stuff of, you know, this 13-week scan might mean a lot of different things because you find out so much. So for anyone who might be receiving or has received news that something might be up and it might be something similar to amniotic band syndrome, what would you say to them? Because I'm sure, and I'm so happy to hear that once you were asked that and you had that terrible experience with that man, that you were in such a, I suppose, confident space, you knew what you were doing, you were so assured. But for anyone that's kind of not there yet, what would you say to them, I suppose, to comfort them in this time?
I think it's with anything, with motherhood, with life, everything. When we're stuck in a place of like despair and hopelessness, actually the one thing that helps is hope. So for me, finding out something bad about my pregnancy, I joined the amniotic band page, you know, support group. There's this amazing group called Lucky Fin Project.
Oh, cute.
Like Nemo has his little Lucky Fin. I joined that and it's interesting, you know, seeing someone further down, you know, the chapter of their book and how beautiful it is. And this applies to business, you know, even with Francesca, you know, when business is so tough, seeing someone, for me, it was Samantha Wills. So seeing someone down on chapter 16 when I'm on chapter 1 is enough to drive you forward.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you're in that helpless stage of your life, no matter what it is, even with, you know, like I have a lot of friends who are desperately trying to become pregnant and it's such a journey, you know, following the right people who have been there, who have come through the end, and I guess you, like, putting your future self there and meditating on your future self every day will help pull you towards that goal. That's what it was for me, seeing, you know, other people's children and how much they achieved with with their disability.
Beautiful lives,
was like, you know, we can do this.
Oh, amazing.
That's life.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing and being so open to talk so openly about your experience. And yeah, they're both beautiful.
They're really cute.
Beautiful. And yeah, so happy for you. And yeah, also aside from motherhood, congrats on Francesca. It's such an incredible brand.
Thank you. We're so honoured. We have so many mothers in our team. Like, I have a new appreciation for mothers in all walks of life. We are awesome.
Yes, we are. It's a great way to finish. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. If you would like to get involved with the Kick Pod or Kick Bump Pod, you can by going to our Instagram at Kick Pod and sending us a voice note or writing in a DM. And if you would like to join a bit of a virtual mothers group, we like to call it, our Kick Bump Facebook community is for you. There is so much in there, encouragements of finding your journey again after having a baby or questions during pregnancy. It's a virtual mothers group of love and support, and you are so welcome. So you can find us there. If you would like to learn more about Kick, you can go to our website, kickapp.com, or you can find us on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, where we have a 7-day free trial. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in your ears very soon. Bye.